join the countdown. For actors, modeling, singers, songwriters, musicians, dancers, performers, and voiceovers from across the nation to across the world. Here with Dawn Reese on Hollywood Connections on TAM Talk Radio 106.1 FM.
Hi, this is Pam Tillis, and you're listening to Hollywood Connection with Dawn.
Hi, I'm Gina Lee Nolan, and you're listening to Hollywood Connections.
Hey, everyone, I'm Cassie Scirbo with Dawn, the lovely Dawn, and you're listening and watching Hollywood Connections.
Hey, what up, you guys? It's your girl, Vivica Fox. You are watching Hollywood Connections on TAM Talk Radio with Dawn. Little foxy thing. Enjoy.
Hi, you're listening to Hollywood Connections with Dawn Reese, and I'm Kathleen Gatti from General Hospital, Dr. Liesl Obrecht.
Hello, I'm Butch Patrick, and you're listening to Dawn Reese's TAM Talk Radio, Hollywood Connections.
John Schneider, you're listening to Dawn Reese on Hollywood Connections.
Listening to Hollywood Connections, I'm Kirstie Alley.
Hey, this is Jason Thompson from The Young and the Restless. You're listening to Hollywood Connections with Dawn Reese.
Hi, Squidward Tentacles here, reminding you about Hollywood Connections with Dawn Reese. If you want to know about voiceovers, this is where you need to tune in. You can hear me, too. Ha, ha, ha. Have a great day. Is this thing still on?
I am. Hey, this is Brittany Sarpy from Young and the Restless, and you are listening to Dawn Reese Hollywood Connection.
Okay. Hey, this is your Olympic
Cave. And this is our Beauty Queen special, and we have one commercial that we're running with the Salt Cave in Palm Harbor. And we'll be right back with Deidre and Michael Givens, and he is a film director, cinematographer, and so much more. So stay tuned to Hollywood Connections. We'll be right back.
Breathe in that feeling of summer again at Ocean Air Himalayan Salt Caves in Orleans. Relax in your own private salt cave. Unwind in zero-gravity chairs surrounded by relaxing music. And enjoy the natural therapy discovered in European salt mines for over 100 years. Detox your body and relax your mind at Ocean Air. 35204 U.S. Highway 19N in Palm Harbor. Or call 727-754-3979. Plan your escape today. Visit OceanAirHimalayanSaltCave.com.
And we're back. Deidre, are you there?
Yes. Thank you for having me tonight. This is Chat with Deidre, monthly show. And tonight I have Michael Givens, director and cinematographer. Hi, Michael. Thank you so much for meeting with me tonight.
Yes, take it away. And Deidre, I'll see you at the International Christian Film Festival. Have a great show. I'll be right back at 8:30 with the other Beauty Queen special.
Hi, Deidre.
Hi. Okay, it's so nice to meet you. You are a director, cinematographer. You've directed films like A Christmas Eve Miracle and Opposite Day, and you worked on Coyote Ugly as the director of photography and so many other films. And I'm just looking at your IMDb. You have so many credits. And I'm just curious, how did you get started in the movie business?
I'm not exactly sure I have started yet. I've only made about 70 or 75 movies and about 1,000 commercials. And it's, every day, it's sort of like starting over. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's a business where you have to sort of reinvent yourself. But, you know, to properly answer your question, you know, I did it the old-fashioned way. I studied it for years, and then I got myself into the business, and I worked my way up from the bottom, and I'm still close to the bottom.
Oh, wow, that's interesting. I like your analogy of like how you said that. And so what was your passion? Like, how did you know that you wanted to do this and wanted to keep grinding and keep working and keep learning about this?
Okay, that's actually two questions. The first is, how did I know? Just to get into it. And honestly, I should be honest with you, I hate to sound like a cliche. You know, it wasn't like the Klieg lights, you know, were drawing me in, Broadway was calling or any of that nonsense. But for some reason, even when I was a little kid, I played like I was making movies. And that's really all I wanted to do. But I grew up in the hills of South Carolina in a little town called Pickens that didn't even have a movie theater. It actually had one, but it was never open when I was a boy. And then they tore it down and put up a Western Auto, which is shameful. But I just, you know, I always wanted to do it. And then I went, I planned on doing it, and then I studied art and with drawing and painting and then photography, and then photography really led me to that. I really just decided that I wanted to see my photos move. And the other question that you ask is like, what did I do in the business to keep going? And I'll tell you this, anybody that is in the business, the film business, or whether it's the acting end or behind the camera, there's a attraction to it that's really hard to bust. Once you've done something in it, particularly if you've been reasonably successful, it's really hard to get away from it.
Right. That's so true. Because I grew up watching movies and wanting to be in the acting business, and my life kind of took a little bit of a turn, but I'm still attracted to it. I still want to be in a movie one day and keep acting and keep studying it. So That's definitely true.
We'll try to sort that out.
That'd be awesome. So you wrote and directed the movie Angel Camouflage. Was this a dream come true for you?
That's a really nice question. I think that that movie, I wrote it, I directed it, I produced it with other producers, but I even raised the money for it. And I was the cinematographer, the camera operator. I didn't make lunch, but I probably could have. And making a movie like that, that was a rock and roll movie. It had a nice story to it. Just being able to come up with the story and then watch actors from around the world that played in it. I mean, we cast people from Africa. Actually, two people were from South Africa. And we had some big names in it. And, you know, to see those people come together and watch them breathe life into it, that's really special. It's an amazing thing to watch and to be a part of.
That's awesome. So do you have a favorite type of movie to work on, or a type of theme?
That's a good question. I like to shoot just about anything that is an interesting story. So I can't really say, I mean, like as far as a genre, I do have a couple of different films that I'm working on right now that are completely different genres. And I kind of like historical drama. If I had to be pressed into something, I guess I would say that.
Interesting. Historical drama. Do you have a favorite movie that's a historical drama?
There are people that like to make people be quiet if they don't like their particular type of artistic endeavor. So I think it would be safe to just say that nobody would get angry if I said that I just liked W.C. Fields' movie.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
I'll tell you honestly, the person though that no, you're gonna, I think you're gonna, I can tell you're gonna ask me a question about who influenced me.
Do you have someone that influenced you when you were younger?
Absolutely. I'm gonna say who influenced me in the business. When I was younger, there was actually an English professor that convinced me to leave college in Tennessee and go to California and seek out my dream and my fortune. But as far as in the business, there were a couple of people. First, there was a South African director that I worked with for quite a while named Peter Smiley. And I was his cinematographer for some years. And he was just brilliant, brilliant. And he really sort of influenced me about look and the way that I would look at things and the way that I would tell stories with pictures. So this was the cinematographer for Ridley Scott. And working for Ridley Scott was a serious game changer. I always think of Ridley Scott as like the Rembrandt of the 20th and now the 21st century. I don't think that anybody has quite the eye and the understanding of narrative that that man has. I honestly, and there's a lot of great directors out there, but I think Ridley Scott is the best director in the world.
Awesome.
And yeah, not only did I work as a cinematographer, but then in 1989, he set me down and convinced me to start directing. And that's when I started doing that.
That's really cool. So,
it's very cool. I mean, I tell you, so just looking at Ridley Scott across the table, who is telling me that I need to be directing, is, you know, I could replay that in my mind for the rest of my life and be happy.
Oh, that's nice. You should tell him, if you haven't told him that, how much he inspired you.
He knows.
That's good. So what would you say is the hardest part of filmmaking or of cinematography?
Well, the hardest part of filmmaking, and anybody that's in film is going to agree with me on this, the hardest part of filmmaking is raising money. Nothing happens unless there's money to create the project. And there may be some people that would argue and say, oh, you know, it doesn't really matter, you know, you still make your film. I totally disagree, because if you're going to make your film, you need to make it as professional as possible. And make it as to where it can compete with the best projects out there. That doesn't mean that you don't do it if you don't have the money, but raising money for film is very difficult. I've done it. I continue to do it and to work more and more to get it done. It's not at all my favorite part of it, but it is. I would not be honest if I wasn't telling you that is the most difficult part of making a film. As far as getting the actors together, you know, casting is certainly a challenge, but casting is after funding is the most important thing of a film, because without actors to breathe life into their roles, you have nothing. But you can't discount any layer of it. The writing has to be great. If you try to make a great film with a mediocre script, it's not going to work. As we've seen over and over and over, every layer of it, the music, the cinematography, the lighting, the art direction, it's all mega important.
Right. And those are all very, like, different details, and they all work together. So it's a lot of work. I think we all like the finished product of the movie, but when we look behind the, like, I always like to look behind the scenes, and I'm even more inspired to see the behind the scenes. To see how they did everything, how they did the lighting, and what goes on, and
well,
how they set everything up.
I'll tell you what, I'm impressed with you that you do that, because it's a very good way to learn about film. And it's like I hear people, actors will say sometimes, you know, that they're going to take a job, you know, as an extra. And there's nothing wrong with extra work. Extra work is fine, and the extras are wonderful and you need them and they generally do really good work, but the point is that if an actor who is trained as an actor says they're going to go do that and they always have the wrong reasons for doing it, they say they just want to be on set so that they can learn how things work on set. But you don't learn how things work on set being an extra, because they keep the extras in a particular corral, they feed them different food than everybody else, they don't pay them as well as they pay everybody else. And it's super rare for them to ever upgrade anybody. The only upgrade that I ever made, I was shooting a beer commercial with George Strait, who's a country singer, and it had a dog in it. And the dog that had been trained for weeks to do the things that he was supposed to do wouldn't do it, and the trainer happened to have his pet dog there with him, and I said, hey, let's try this dog, see what he'll do. And he said, oh, no, he'll never do it. Well, guess what? Mm-hmm. That dog did it, and he did everything that the other dog was supposed to do, and he was in the commercial and not the other guy. The only upgrade I've ever done. But if you're an actor and you want to know what life is like on the set and you want to get set experience, go to a production manager and tell them that you want to be a PA, a production assistant. And if they hire you as a production assistant, you'll get paid better than being an extra. You'll get fed better. And you will learn everything about what goes on a film set.
Oh, that's really good advice. I feel like I've heard that before.
It's honestly very, very good advice. It's important that people, if they can, that they start at that level, because then they've learned so much about what everybody does, and then they can choose which sort of trajectory that they would like to take for their own career.
Right. So do you enjoy being a camera operator more than a director, or you like them both equally?
Okay, I want to just give you a little bit of education on that, because a camera operator is the person that operates the camera, that looks through the lens and either works the gear head or a fluid head and does that. What I am is a cinematographer, which is also called a director of photography, and I'm responsible for everything in the camera, grip, and electric department. So in other words, I tell the guys how I want the set lit. I tell them, the electricians do that, and then the movement of the camera is decided by the director of photography with the input of the director as well. And so when there's a dolly or a crane or a drone or whatever, all of that works in my department. So a camera operator is just one of those people that work on the set. But to be honest with you, I usually also operate a camera. And to answer your question, what do I like better, directing or cinematography? Cinematography is really my heart. I would say that directing is kind of my brain. And I enjoy writing scripts that I direct, that I'm also the cinematographer of, but every now and then I will be the cinematographer for another director, and I have to admit to you, I mean, I truly love that.
So, thank you for that education, because I'm still learning, like, all the different terms.
I'm still learning, too.
That's good. So tell us about a scene where you were directing or maybe doing cinematography that you were amazed by. Because when you're behind the camera, you're directing, you're watching it unfold. So is there a scene that's, like, memorable to you that you're really amazed by?
There are a number of scenes like that, and for different reasons. I'll give you a couple of them. One, I was shooting a shot from a hot air balloon. I've mentioned South Africa a number of times, and this was also in South Africa, in KwaZulu-Natal, actually. And I was up in this balloon, and we went there very early to shoot what we were shooting. But this particular shot, we started first thing so we could get a sunrise. And we went up in this balloon, and we were filming, and the sun came up. And as it did, it showed this valley that was full of mist that was all being backlit by this sunrise. And it was unbelievably breathtakingly beautiful. Okay, so we got this shot, and then we came down, and then I found out from the local constable that told us that wasn't actually mist. Unfortunately, there was a house that was burning down the other end of the valley that we couldn't see, and all of that was smoke of somebody's house, which, you know, then sort of took the joy out of it, because somebody losing their house and probably all of their belongings sort of took the love out of it. But it was an incredibly beautiful shot at the expense of somebody's home. And then, as far as, like, watching actors, I've had the fortune to get to actually direct and work with Meryl Streep, and just watching the way she handled herself with dialogue and with a scene was just phenomenal. But I would say that one thing that really moved me again as an artist was one time when I was shooting a scene in that movie that you mentioned, Angel Camouflage. There was an actor that did a scene that was a fairly emotional scene. And it really blew me away, and I had to actually think, oh, my goodness, did I actually write that? because the way that he did it was so much better than I ever thought it. And those sort of things happen so often, you know, and a film is never the same. Never. That's one of the things that's so addicting about it, is that even if you do something that you're proud of or other people make a big fuss over, you never do it again. You go do something completely different. And there's no ending that Jones, if you know what I mean.
Right. That's great. Any advice for someone who wants to be a cinematographer?
Sure, I do. Now, the business has changed a bit since we went primarily from film to digital. Now, understand, most of the really big films that you see that are, you know, your big award-winning films, usually they're still shot on film. A lot of people don't know that, but that's the truth. Call Panavision anytime and ask them how many film cameras they've got on their shelves. Almost all of them are out all the time, except during this COVID nonsense. But the digital world has changed things to some extent, that people can actually go purchase relatively cheaply cameras that'll shoot, you know, very, very good. Very good. In fact, I mean, good Lord, you can shoot 4K on an iPhone. And so it's very easy for people to get that. Years ago, and I sound like an old guy, you know, when I say things like this, but years ago, it was much more expensive to get it going, you know, because you would need film, you would need to get the cameras, you'd need to get the gear, and it's so much easier to get now. What worries me about a number of filmmakers that I meet today is that they don't spend any of that time moving up in the business. Apprenticing for other people. I was very fortunate when I came up that I worked with a number of very, very talented directors and very talented cinematographers. I worked with Alan Davio, and I worked with, who's that guy? Anyway, I'm having a mind blank. Anybody that wants to know, just go look at my IMDb. But working up and working underneath people that know a lot more than you is the way you learn. This is the way every great artist in history has learned. They apprentice under what, you know, be termed the masters. And so what I caution people is, if you just concentrate on trying to make something and making like a short film here and there and that sort of thing, you may find yourself spinning your wheel because you're not doing stuff that's big enough to be seen, you know?
All right, thank you. Unfortunately, we have to go, but really quick, if you have social media, we can follow.
Okay, Deirdre. Take care of yourself. Thanks for the call.
Okay, bye.
All right, then to Hollywood.
transparency. Who you say I am is what I will be. My tears pave the way. Now I can hear what your spirit says.
Welcome to the second half hour of Hollywood Connections Beauty Queen Special. Teresa, are you there?
I am. How are you doing, Dawn?
Fabulous. Excited. I love that song. What a great song before the Easter weekend. Take it away, and you have an amazing show, and you have some amazing guests. We're all listening to 106.1 FM, The Heat, right here in Clearwater Beach, Florida, and five other stations. We'll be back with Teresa. She's right here. Take it away.
Hi, this is Teresa. Hollywood Connection Special with Dawn Reese. I am World Classic Miss Universe Tourism 2021 to 2022. And the topic is for today is hope and renewal. With the pandemic and how stressful it has been on all of us, what do you hope for? Who do I have on? Is Lee there?
Yes, he's out. What did you say, Tommy?
Is it Deborah?
He's getting it. 106.1 FM, The Heat.
And who are my guests?
Yes, intro your guest. She's ready.
Hello.
Hello, Teresa.
Yes.
Hi, Deborah.
Steve. Hi, Teresa.
Michael.
Who else is there?
Steve.
Steve, how you doing, Steve?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Wonderful. Hey, I'm doing great. Thank you. I'm looking forward to
the
future now that we have, you know, the vaccine that's supposed to help us all, and many have already gotten it, and I'm looking forward to as well. What do you hope for? I mean, I know I hope for certain things. I want to get out there and go to the film festivals here locally, or, you know, in the United States, even around the world. I have to travel. I love to travel now that things are getting back to normal, and we're able to do some of the things that we used to do, you know, go to the restaurants without the masks and go to the malls and be with our friends and family freely without having to be fearing, you know, that we might get COVID from them and all that. So I'm looking forward to especially also dancing. I love dancing, and so I feel like now we can do the things that are hobbies. You know, we can do all the fun things that we used to do. What do you think, Steve? What would you like to do for, you know, the future, upcoming future? What would you like to do that you couldn't do before?
I've always liked meeting people and talking with people, and I'm not able to do that anymore. Just getting out of the house and going to a restaurant and you meet people anywhere you go. So
right. And it feels like, I feel like it, you know, it's getting back to normal. Not quite yet there, you know, people, there's been like millions vaccinated already. They're going by age group and all that, and we have to wait for hours, but at least there's a chance for us to get back to the usual, and, you know, there's hope, and there's hopefully good things to come in the future. So, and who else do I have there? Do I have Deborah?
Yes.
Deborah, what do you think? What are you hoping for?
Well, of course, I hope that everybody gets back to normal and they have their, where we live, of course, in California, the job situation improves for many people. There's been so much suffering going on, and I guess it's all true throughout, not only here, but throughout the world, you know, there's been lockdowns in Europe again, the Vatican and so forth. But, of course, to get back to normal, be able to interact with people, whether it's church, or, and not to feel so frightened, to lose that sense of fear, to interact with someone, to hug them, to show affection, to go out to concerts, I love music, you know, all that stuff, even to church, where you can actually shake somebody's hand and not be afraid of what contracting something from someone. There's been a lot of that going on. I see so many people who are so frightened that they're all, we talked about that recently, about they're spraying on the counter. They have to, right? But a lot of people became a little bit overly scared, and I think it's going to be a long time before people will be able to feel comfortable interacting with people. There's going to be a lot of probably a lot of mental problems or psychological things will happen out of this, no doubt, for quite a while.
Absolutely, yeah, all the things that affected some people. And hopefully we'll get back to the usual and we can interact and we can be our social beings that we are and share love and, you know, be happy again. It's been very stressful and you have to hold back and, you know, it gets boring after a while because you're always at home and you miss some of the things that you used to do and, you know, you're wishing, oh, I wish I could do that and this and that and the hobbies that you used to have. So hopefully, you know, we'll be doing all the good things that we used to do soon. And already there's, you can see there's, you know, good things going on. And you can go to certain places and, you know, like the malls, you can go to a restaurant. I mean, it's not quite there yet, but we can still do some of the things now that we couldn't do before. And when this whole pandemic started, people were so scared. So I'm hoping. Oh, didn't you have a little story about your dad?
I do.
And
the
flowers, the bushes that grew or something.
Well, it's a miracle story that goes along with this week.
A miracle story.
Because it's about a past person. My father passed away, Jack. I'm Deborah Hammer, so give Dad a little credit there, Jack Hammer. He passed away in the year 2000 after a lengthy illness. He had emphysema. And I had a stroke, artery problem. But he didn't have a faith in God, and that really upset me, as we talked before, Teresa, and I've shared this with friends also, other friends. But, yeah, it just was so hard. And watching him go downhill, and I walked into where he was hospitalized or receiving a lot of care, right about a day and a half before he was going to pass away in March, on March 11th of 2000. And he was on an oxygen machine, as I talked to you about, and he was not always receptive to prayer or that kind of thing, and I wanted to approach him about faith in God. What was going to happen if should he pass away? He didn't have that, you know. He was a wonderful father, not get that straight, but he just didn't have that faith or belief system. So he was in deep sleep, and they couldn't wake him up very well because he was so weak. And I called out to him, Dad, you know, and he woke up and he said, well, hi, Deb. And I thought it was wrong. And they left me alone with him. So we had a nice little talk, and he was very, very alert, which was amazing. I had stood there praying that might happen, to have one more chance to talk to him about the Lord, too. He did no belief. It would torment me if he were to pass on in that state. And it bothered me. So anyway, I prayed, and he did wake up. And on top of that, you know, we did have that nice little talk. And I asked him, you know, do you want some? I thought, well, it won't hurt now to ask because it's so late in his life. And I asked him, you know, do you want God to forgive you. And he thought for a moment, what did he believe, you know? And he always gave negative answers. This time he said, he thought a minute about forgiveness and all that. And he thought, and he said, well, yeah, I want God to forgive me, you know, for anything he's done. And then I waited, and I thought, oh, my, if I bring up Jesus, will that be a good thing? Or he never was receptive to that, never went to church, always against those things. But he was a wonderful father, as I said. I took a breath, and I thought, okay. I prayed, and I asked him, Dad, do you want Jesus to forgive you? And I told you about that yesterday. He said, well, no, yes, I do, I do. Yes, I do, I want Jesus to forgive me, but, oh, but I'm bad, I'm bad. He wouldn't do that. I've been thrashing around the bed, and I thought, oh, my, what to do? But I tried to explain to him, you know, that it doesn't matter if you're bad or not. That's why he came. That's what Easter's all about, right, Teresa? He came because he loves you, and he loves you. He doesn't care about that. But he couldn't accept that. He had a hard time. And, oh, you don't know. I mean, I'm just a bad person and all that. So I told him, but he did want him to forgive him, and I prayed with him. And I said a prayer, and I wanted him to have peace and comfort and about this, you know, what he said, basically, too. And he told me, he smiled at me and said, you're a good daughter. And, as I was leaving, he told me he loved me, and I told him I loved him, too. And he said, well, he had a sense of humor. He said, well, as bad as he was, he said, just come back. I'll see you again soon. Just barge right in. And I said, well, I said, well, I'll see you soon, Dad. I know I'll see you again. I know I'll see you again. And he was sure of it, too. But he was thinking on earthly terms. In my mind was thinking, I don't know how long my father's going to live. This may be my last visit with him. And it was. So a day and a half later, the phone call came that he died. And I couldn't speak for a whole day. It was still a blow. So I told the minister about what was said. You know, could we hold a real memorial service for my father? And he said, well, I think so. I think he knew you. He wasn't confused. And because he said he wanted that kind of forgiveness and so forth, yes. So we had a memorial service, and as I kind of to go along with my father's sense of humor, he said, during the service, well, Jack wasn't always a Christian. Well, of course, we knew that. But we had it, and then my mom was concerned because she thought, you know, was this real? Was he really forgiven? What really happens after we die? Which is the question about Easter, why it gives us so much hope. And unknown to me, my mom was also not well at this point. And she had prayed, and or actually talked to, wishing. My father planted 3 bulbs, flower bulbs.
Right. Some of us.
Grew out to the river, near the river area, basically, in our area, the delta, off of the river. And he wanted to grow and bloom in the front yard for my mother, to make her happy. But they never did, and it always bothered him. He always said, I don't know why they don't grow. He's a wonderful gardener. And that had gone on for years. And, but I hadn't known that my mom had walked around the front yard feeling really bad about my dad, wondering what really happened after we die, needing comfort. And she had wished they would bloom in my father's memory. And I didn't know that. So in July, this is March, and in July, suddenly she let me know that they were blooming out there.
Right.
In the front yard, 3 flowers that he transplanted, and the bulbs suddenly sprung to life. And I couldn't believe it. You know, she had pictures taken and everything. I've shared them on Facebook.
The flowers.
Well, right. That's what we do now, right? They didn't exist back then. But to help other people, I mean, you know, not. And I told the story. And 3 beautiful white kind of flowers. They were very unusual flowers. With white.
Yeah, I saw them, and you sent some photos. And
yeah,
beautiful.
Yeah, I did that because we can do that now. But to give people hope, you know. And
yes.
My gosh, from then on, Teresa, my mom said, I will always remember that. They bloomed for about 2 weeks, and they never bloomed again. But it gave her peace, comfort, and me too, that really did happen. That was accepted, I believe, what he said. The Lord was so kind. I mean, that was just such a loving, compassionate.
That's a beautiful story, yeah. Hey, do we have somebody else on there? Is Lee Knox or Leticia there? Lee?
Yes.
Hi, Lee.
Hey.
How you doing? We played your song. It's beautiful.
thank you. I was on the beginning. Yeah. I was here at the beginning when Don said it was, you know, great to have this right before the Easter weekend. So I was honored and humbled to hear that. So I was glad to hear it.
Oh, just beautiful, yeah. And all your songs are beautiful. And I'm looking
thank
forward
you.
To our duet and practicing the song to let you know. Hey, could you tell us about your social media after you tell us a little bit about what are you hoping for after this whole pandemic? We're looking forward to a brighter future. What are you hoping for as far as, you know, what is it that you're hoping for after all this pandemic and the stress that it has caused us and how it keeps us, you know, from doing all the fun stuff we used to do? What are you hoping for?
Well, my condolences to the young lady that was speaking just about her father. I'm definitely keep her and her family in my thoughts and prayers on that. Because, I mean, that's...
That was some time ago, though, Lee, but thank you. I love your music, by the way. It's great.
Oh, thank you. One of the things that I'm looking forward to, we had a gig this past weekend. I'm here in North Carolina, and I'm kind of like Steve. I miss the open banter with people, you know, where, you know, you get into the venue, you plug up, you know, your band, we do our entire set, and by the end of the night, you know, you look forward to being able to communicate with people without these masks. You know, so that we can actually communicate and get back to some level of normalcy. That's
mm-hmm.
what I'm looking forward to the most. I mean, we're booking gigs now. It's starting to pick back up, which is a good thing, but it's still that level of normal's not there yet. And that's
right.
what I'm looking forward to the most.
Me too.
See,
I
want to
do like the festivals, you know. How's that?
Looking forward to seeing other people's smiles with another people too.
Right. That's yeah. Steve. And, yeah, it's just, you know, we haven't been able to do what we used to do before. And I'm looking forward to doing festivals. And this year we were nominated for Best TV, and Hollywood Connections had two nominations. For two categories. So Dawn will be there. That's in Florida, the International Christian Film Festival. So I wish I could go over there. Maybe I might be able to fly over there. You guys are welcome to go fly over there and attend the event. But these are things that, you know, we can look forward to. And it's going to be, last year was virtual. This year will be live in May, the International Christian Film Festival. So if you want to go, just go ahead and look at the website and all the information. If you've never been to Florida, this is a good chance. It's something fun, a place to meet up with us. If I go there, Dawn definitely will be there. She interviews all the big celebrities there. And, of course, she'll be walking the red carpet. And hopefully we will, you know, win that Oscar this year, and I'm praying for it. Anyway, just a lot of stuff that, you know, we could do now. We could in comparison to last year. So I'm looking forward to, and after all these, you know, the vaccinations, we'll be able to get back to the usual, hopefully, and do some more things that we weren't able to do before. Is Akeisha on the air? I just want to know.
There are no open phone lines.
Okay. So,
I'm going to hang up.
Yeah, Lee, so you were saying, Lee, what else would you like to do? What are you hoping for? Besides, you know, being, playing live, interacting with your fans, and is there anything else that you would like to do? I know we're going to be doing the duet, and I'm looking forward to that. I do want to collaborate, perhaps, with Steve. Steve is really great at editing on Premiere Pro and all that. Works with him. We were in the same community college radio and television class,
okay.
Along with Deborah. And he's really great. He loves to write. He's a script writer, director. He edits. He's quite into the festivals as well. We used to do festivals together. So it's, you know, we can all collaborate on things and look forward to that. So, you know, as far as our duet, I would like to submit that as well and work together on this. And Lakeisha and I had talked about doing things together. She's into script writing. She's looking forward to more interacting with, you know, actors. She's going to be directing her own film soon in Las Vegas that she financed herself. So she's already planning things to do, and, you know, I always encourage her. So it's a brighter future, you know, so we're looking forward to some of the fun things that we could do together. I hope it happens. And Steve, did you want to add to anything that, you know, something that you might want to do as far as collaborating?
I would love to start collaborating again after all this is over. And
I know, huh? We haven't done anything much. I've done, you know, things virtually, like I submitted my last project to the International Christian Film Festival, and I edited it myself on Premiere Pro. I did the singing and all that. But I had to do it alone. You know, there's just, like, no one to really collaborate with because of the fear of getting too close to anybody and all that. So everything was virtual. Now it'll be live, so we can get together. And even if we're not in the same state, you know, or country, we can still collaborate. Mm-hmm. And just as long as we communicate and send each other, you know, what it is that we want to do, raw footage of any film for a film or music, whatever, we can, you know, work that way. And I am really looking forward to the International Christian Film Festival. If not this year, coming up in May, or maybe next year. But I am planning at some point, and I hope you guys plan to go. Roma Downey of Touched by an Angel. Deborah, you know her quite well.
I don't know her, but I know her, sure.
You don't know her. Hey, we could go there and meet her. We're going to be meeting.
I wish I did, yeah.
We could meet her there because Don interviews everybody there, so that would be nice if we could go. You know, we could chit-chat with everybody. It'd be fun. But, you know, we could go to these things and interact with all these people at the festival. It's so much fun.
Yeah, I really admire her. They did a wonderful job with that show. And
I know.
She has her own production company, too, with she and her husband.
You know of her. She's quite into the Christian films and things like that, right?
Yeah, she's not many. She's really a remarkable lady. And, yes, that not only that TV show, what she's been doing with her husband with production. So, yeah, they're just wonderful people. So, it would be wonderful to meet her. But I hope that we can someday. You never know. Things are open enough, so we have that to look forward to. What future events, and if not now, then soon, you know, things like that.
Yeah, she, along with other celebrities, show up to these events. The prize is $500,000 for the winners. And, of course, you get to show, you know, everybody gets to see your videos, whether it's a music video or a short film, a documentary. All the producers, directors, investors, all the other celebrities, they get to see on 24 Flicks. So, you know, you get recognized for your work, and you never know where that goes, you know, where it's going to go. So I'm looking forward to attending this event. But there's thousands, like I said, thousands of film festivals, and film and music and dance festivals. So I'm looking forward to, I'm hoping to attend with my daughter to the local ones here. There's San Francisco, San Jose, and Sacramento, and just interviewing people there. That should be fun. It's just about an hour away. So look forward. You guys, you know, get involved with everything. Look at your local, look for the local festivals and attend, and, you know, have fun doing that. So we're going to be playing Lee's song after in a couple of minutes. Continue with his song. And anything else that anybody might want to add as far as, you know, what are they hoping for? Lee, what did you? What else are you hoping for?
Well, just getting back to not just gigs, but church. Like,
so yeah, church,
we,
huh?
Because we've been doing virtual with the praise team and the pastor have been there. And we've been doing a lot of streaming for over a year now, and it's kind of missed the old of just being able to see the members and, you know, seeing their faces as they're impacted by either the message and or the music. Like, that's a lost art that I really, really miss.
Yeah, you just miss that interaction at the church, and, you know, so hopefully... we'll be doing that very soon, so I'm looking forward to that. So, when are we going to be playing
earlier.
These songs?
That was good music, everybody.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.